The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Just a beautiful morning, 59 degrees, going to be a little bit toasty for the rest of this week. Nothing like what it is here. You know, you get 92 here in Southern Oregon, and then 92, in fact, I think it was going to be 98 or 99 in D.C., if I recall. I mean, 98, 99, and when you're looking at 90% humidity, oh my goodness. I do not miss that from when I was living in Ohio and even Western Pennsylvania as a kid, and you would get that muggy kind of summer feel. I love the fact that we're a little more moderate, a little Mediterranean, our Mediterranean climate. Just absolutely beautiful, okay? By the way, we do have some open phone time if you wanted to jump in and talk about anything that's on your mind this morning. One question I wanted to pose to you. Now that the Supreme Court, every time I go on vacation, all the news breaks. I know that, you know, I should also almost tell people, when I go on vacation for a day, check the news, because that's when all the news is going to break and everything's going to come out. And, you know, they ended up arresting the former Providence nurse. And then SCOTUS ended up doing and overturning the Trump bump stock ban. Yeah, the bump stock ban went away. And question for you this morning, and this is a serious question, and this is during the Trump administration that they did the bump stock ban, and this was all in reaction to the Las Vegas shooting, that Las Vegas massacre, which has an amazing amount of questions that have never been really asked or investigated about. It's been another one of these stories that everybody just kind of shoves under the and down the memory hole, so to speak. Should people who destroyed their bump stock because of the Trump bump stock ban, should they be made whole by the federal government? Should the federal government have to write us checks? Because I had a bump stock. I had a bump stock back in the day. I had talked about having my bump stock all this time. Now, I know a lot of other people went out there and they made those claims. They didn't destroy their bump stock. They go, it fell out in a boating accident, you know, all those kind of things. And then all those bump stocks that were lost in the boating accidents have miraculously been found, from what I understand. But for people who actually follow the rules there, should I be made whole? Because essentially my property was taken and the Supreme Court said, now I'm talking about, it's not just about me. There are other people who had to do it too. I know, being a person that actually talked about his bump stock, I couldn't help but think, I'm in the process of, they'd love to make an example out of me. You know, that kind of thing. When you're a talk show host in the area, you're a target, whether you like to admit it or not. Sometimes that happens. If someone could get you on something, they would. Oh, what about that bump stock you've been always talking? You know, where is that? Do you have that? Where is that? What did you do with it? So I ended up destroying it. And the Supreme Court then threw it out. Should we be reimbursed? That's all I'm asking. It was essentially a property taking, wasn't it? 770-5633, something I was thinking about. Not the most important thing on my mind, but I'm thinking, yeah, thing cost me $240 back in the day. And I had a letter that came with it that said the ATF approves this until the ATF didn't approve it. And they reversed course. They never really even proved that bump stocks were used in that shooting, by the way. Listen, I've listened to enough machine gun fire over the years at those Welburn's weapon events out there to know what a bump stock sounds like. And a bump stock shooting doesn't sound that, doesn't have that smoothness that you were able to listen to on the Vegas shootings. There's a lot of questions about this. And it's not even Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but at least I thought I'd toss that out there. If you destroyed your bump stock, should the federal government write you a check? Maybe even a tax credit for it. 770-5633. We can talk about that or anything else on your mind. Other news that happened last week was that the petrodollar agreement ended up going bye-bye. The end of the petrodollar. Now, the petrodollar was established back in 74 after the United States abandoned the gold standard, and it actually worked pretty well for a long time. We agreed to defend Saudi Arabia. They agreed to price oil in dollars. And then Saudi Arabia said that we are not going to renew this. Now, apparently they're going to renegotiate this. But there's been all sorts of talk. There's just there's drama in the currency worlds all surrounded about this. And given the potential impact of the end of the petrodollar system on gold prices, now is an opportune time to invest. And you need to talk to my friends Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland and Grants Pass. One of the reasons you might want to consider physical gold and silver is portfolio diversification. It will help diversify your investment portfolio, potentially reducing overall risk. And gold also has long history of maintaining its value all over time, no matter whether there's a petrodollar system or petrodollar.2 or, you know, whatever the case might be. Physical gold and silver is being bought hand over fist by the central banks. Now, I don't know, maybe this is just a preparation for war. Who knows? But the smart money is buying the gold right now and buying the gold physically and keeping it in their position, possession. Talk to Jay Austin & Company Gold and Silver Buyers for you to maybe do that for yourself, too. Call them at 482-3715 for your appointment. That's for 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Otherwise, just walk in the store today, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. Talk to Mark or Andrea and get your physical gold and silver on. Or if you're looking to sell, hey, buy, sell. They take care of all of that. JAustinBrokers.com, GrantsPassCoins.com, and FortuneReserve.com. Physical gold and silver at Jay Austin.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit Oregon eDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty around. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The videos are real, and they're played in context. Green Jean-Pierre just goes out there and spews the party line also. But let me tell you something. Cheap fake videos, or an AI deepfake, as some have even suggested, it didn't make Biden say Uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals. Cheap fake videos didn't make Biden say we're in, you know, all these truths to be self-evident, all men and women are created by, oh, you know, the thing. That wasn't a cheap fake video. It didn't generate the Hur report that said Biden has significant memory issues, didn't even know, was I still vice president in 2009? And all the other mental lapses that he's had, you know, in that interview with Hur.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think you could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text SPIRAL to 424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text SPIRAL to 42424. That's SPIRAL to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMET.
By the way, men, if you are taking that testosterone, Testofen, or whatever it is that guy was just talking about, do not down it with a soy latte, all right? Soy latte and testosterone supplement, kind of, you're working at cross purposes, okay? One's going to offset the other. So, okay, so, you know, you try to get, well, of course, if you're trying to get rid of the man boobs and things like that, probably better not to be drinking the soy latte anyway. And I, you know, that could be something for Conspiracy Theory Thursday more, but I can't help but wonder, when are they going to get to the point where they start taking soy out of the processed foods. It's pretty much well known that soy, not such a bad deal for women, although menopausal women supposedly could cause some problems, you know, because soy essentially is an estrogen generator. I forget exactly what it is. It sort of mimics it in the body and it kind of mimics it in, it's an endocrine disruptor of some sort. And I'll tell you, if you ever look at processed foods and you ever take a look at those labels sometime, how many times you see soy extracts, some version of soy, in your chips or your crackers or your, you know, the little meal ready to eat or something. It's just bizarre. And then you can't help but notice plummeting tea, low tea, and all. And then, of course, then they're willing to sell you a supplement to get the tea back up. I guess, right? Get the tea. Get the tea back up, men. There we go. 770-563-3770-KMED. What's on your mind today? We can talk about anything on your mind. Hey, a little bit of a sad note I wanted to mention, because I just talked to this woman maybe 3 months ago. Last time I interviewed Dr. Marilyn Singleton, and she was just a huge voice for medical freedom over at the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. I've been a member of that group for a long time, aapsonline.org. Well, she died Monday night. And I know that she was not a young woman, but just a brilliant writer. And she served AAPS, according to AAPS, got a release from this morning. I was shocked about this. But she was a past president, member of the board of directors, also a prolific author of the op-ed in the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons. And she most famously wrote a June 2019 president's letter entitled, "Can We Trust the Government with Our Medical Care?" Of course, the answer is no. Yet here we are. This is what we're doing. But I spoke to Marilyn so many times, Dr. Singleton, over the years. I probably talked with her maybe 25 times over the last decade or so. I've been talking to the AAPS people. And I was just checking my notes. I last spoke with her 90 days ago, back in mid-March over, you know, some regulatory issue. And gosh, she was just a big medical brain. And she is sorely, sorely missed for sure. 770-5633. What else is going on around here? Well, they have the nurses on strike over at Prov. It reminds me. Let me see if I can. I had an article I saved about that. The nurses are on strike. And where was it? Oh, here we go. I love the spin that the Oregon Nurses Association used on this. Media advisory for Wednesday, June 19th. Providence fails to stop largest nurses strike in Oregon history. So in other words, it's Providence's fault, right? Providence Hospital's fault. And the Oregon Nurses Association's demands had nothing to do with this. But Providence fails to stop. Well, yeah, Providence failed to stop it because they didn't just cave to everything you wanted, I guess. If you're a nurse, I guess that's the way. Well, you know, we are willing to go back to work today. But, you know, Providence just wouldn't give us everything we wanted. They wouldn't cave. They offered 23%. We asked for 34% raise. Now, that's what I heard it was last time. I don't know if that's what they're fighting for right now. And I'm not a shill for Providence Hospital, but my only concern is I know that there are many people who work for Providence. And God bless you if you're a nurse. And I know it's hard work. I'm not doing this, but, you know, if there's a 34% raise in nurses' pay and benefits, is Providence going to pay that? No. Everybody who goes to Providence will pay that, which also means insurance costs, which means our cash out of pocket and various other things. You know, it's not like it comes out of some imaginary pile of money, I guess. And like I said, they need good compensation. They really do, but I don't know. Isn't 34%? I mean, most people would hear a 34% raise and just go, huh, you're dreaming, right? Well, no, not I guess if you're a member of the Oregon Nurses Association. And, of course, the firefighters are joining in on them. Their firefighters union joining them and supporting that. Because, of course, the unions will always back one another, I guess. Yikes. But that's okay. It won't do anything to our medical bills, right? To give nurses a 34% instead of a 23% raise. 770-5633. We could talk about that if you want. Let me go to line one. Hi, who's this? And welcome. What's on your mind?
This is not so crazy.
Gene, how the heck are you doing today? What's on your mind?
Well, I'm still here and debating on whether that's good or not. But
I'm glad you're here. Well, I'm glad you're here.
What?
I'm glad you're here. Okay.
Oh, you're glad? Well, you don't really know me.
Okay. Now you're starting to scare me, not so crazy, Gene. All right. What's going on here? Explain yourself, young man.
We'll talk about another subject. I had four cats die over the last 2 months.
Really?
Yeah. And last one looked like it was attacked by a raccoon.
Oh, you let him go outside, huh?
Yeah, it was an inside-outside cat. I had another little cat died earlier by the name of Kinky. It was a little cat, and she had a kinky tail at birth.
Oh.
And I really did care for her. And she just died. It looked like maybe rat poison that somehow had something to do with it.
You know, Seven Gene, and I'm sorry, too. I know I might get some people angry with me, and I hope you don't get angry with me. But you know that indoor cats can live a decade and a half or more. You know what the average life is for an outdoor cat?
Less, I'm sure.
2 to 3 years.
So she was inside, outside. She wanted to go outside because she's a hunter. She was always dragging a mouse around. Evidently, one of these mice got into some rat poison.
Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised about that at all. I'm very sad for your loss, though, about that. But,
you know,
if I and not that I'm any expert on the subject that, you know, and I know people will say, well, it's natural. They want to go outside. Yeah, I get that. I really do. Except that there's a real cost. And plus, not only do they live less long, but the bird population is also really impacted, I would imagine. But sorry for that, Kitty, all right? Kinky and the others. Let me go to line two. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Morning. This is Jim and Talent.
Hi, Jim. What's on your mind today?
Well, normally I am not a pro-union kind of person. Mm-hmm. However, and I am not a nurse. I'm not affiliated with Providence in any way. But the way that it's been explained to me and the way that it was shown to me, Providence agreed in writing to the nurses union that, hey, after COVID is done, blah, 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 these are things that we will give you. They gave it to them in writing.
Uh-huh.
The nurses at Providence across the state are in the bottom 25% of the nurses being in their pay scales across the state. So they're some of the cheapest paid nurses in the state, for starters.
Okay.
Then as well, the executives received huge bonuses at the end of this last year, yet the nurses got nothing.
So yeah, the one thing I would add about that, though, is that people will always kind of pull that out as a matter of fairness. There's a handful of executives. There's thousands of nurses. You can't really compare one with the other.
Well, and I agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, as far as morale and welfare is concerned, you know, when you've got all your chiefs that are sitting up there, you know, I mean, they're already making really good money. I mean, yeah, they've got a lot of stress. You know, they're the ones that are steering the ship, and I understand that. But from a leader myself, it's like, you know, why should I take a $500,000 bonus when I know that they could use that times 10, you know, let's say there's 10 executives at a $500,000 bonus to supplement, whether it's CNAs or, you know, the people's janitorial services or something like that you already know are not happy because they're some of the least paid in the state.
Okay, let us go with your assumption that they are the least paid in the state, all right?
Well, they're at the bottom 25% of the scale.
Okay, so are they 34% underpaid?
Well, they're 75% underpaid compared to the rest of the state, to the state average.
Okay, because I know Providence made an offer, it was about 2-3 weeks ago, that got very little reporting, in the media down here, which kind of surprised me. And I think it's because most people, when they hear about getting a 23% wage and benefits increase, most people go, "Hey, that's pretty damn good, even in today's inflationary times." And it didn't fit the ONA agenda here. 34% to all of a sudden say, "Hey, you get 4 months of extra pay a year compared to where you are right now." That sounds like a lot of money to me. To me, what about you?
Well, it does sound like an awful lot of money. However, if your boss was to come to you and say, "Hey, you know what? After we get through this little session here, 14, 2 years, however much time that it was, mm-hmm. we're going to give you X, Y, and Z, in your package mm-hmm. when it comes to a renewal." And then they go, "Well, you know what? We're just not going to agree to what we gave you in writing 2 years ago."
Oh, okay. I'd like to see what that writing is, because what you promised 2 or 3 years ago may be financially absolutely untenable now.
And that may be, but the problem is that when you're generating a labor contract like that, you're giving it to them in writing. I can kind of see where they're digging in their heels a little bit and going, "Hang on, buddy. Mm-hmm. This is what you promised us in writing 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And now you're not going to fulfill that." So I get it. Like I said, I am not a pro-union dude, but I get where they're coming from a little bit.
You do.
You know what I mean?
Okay. All I'm getting at, though, is that when you hear that you turned down 23% and you won 34%, most people, I think I know people who haven't received wage increases in years because everything has actually gone into paying for the health insurance and various other things. I don't know how much public support. It's just like, "Oh yeah, man, I want you to get your medical care improved for you. In other words, better insurance benefits, and I want you to get a 34% raise." I don't know how that pencils with most people who actually have to pay the bill. What do you think?
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah, because remember, Providence doesn't pay the nurses. The patients pay the nurses. We do.
Yeah. No, we do.
Yeah.
My understanding is that the Providence kind of misspent some of their budget. I mean, again, this is just talk from talking with people. So this is, anecdotal, third party. I don't know my ass. My backside from a hole in the ground when it comes to what the details of this are.
Yeah, we're all spitballing on the details. I get that. I understand
right.
it.
Yeah.
I just know that I don't think that most believe me, nurses deserve to be paid well. By the way, I've only received nothing but good care at Providence, and I have nothing but good things to say about the people that I've worked with at Providence.
Okay, so basing it off of that, though, as well, my grandfather worked at Providence, decades ago. I mean, he spent 25 years there after World War II. So I've got some history with Providence as well. And what I would hate to see is that all of those good nurses leave Providence and go somewhere else because they're not getting the pay that they were given in writing a couple of years ago.
Okay. Fair enough. I appreciate the take on it. Thanks for bringing up another aspect of this. The one thing I wish they wouldn't do, though, on the striking thing. Have you noticed the dancing things at the dancing that goes on at the picket sometimes? We don't need that.
No, they don't. You know what else they don't need, though, is Providence putting up those big giant fences to block them out like it's a prison. I drove by there yesterday. I'm like, "What is that going on?" And then realized, oh, the nurses are picketing, and it's like, what is that 7-foot fence doing all the way around the front of Providence?
I think that's to keep the picketing off Providence property, and I understand that because frankly, do you think patients want to run the gauntlet?
Well, no, I agree. It just seemed really, it's like, what the heck is that ugly mess going on over there?
Hey, point well taken. I appreciate the call. Thanks for another look at that. Like I said, I want people. I just know that I would kiss the ground, if in most of my working career, if someone said, "Bill, we'll offer you a 23% raise," No, I'm looking for 34%. Hey, we like you, but we don't like you that much. I don't know. But anyway, hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome. What's on your mind? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, Gene. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I've got a few points to bring up.
Okay. Why don't you give me two? Okay.
Okay. You have my sympathy over Chester because I lost a kitty on Mother's Day.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. What was his name or her name?
Her name was Snowy.
Tilly?
Pardon?
Tilly, you said?
Snowy.
Oh, Snowy. I'm sorry. Snowy. Okay.
She had cancer, so I was glad she went. But I'm the one hurting and missing. But anyway, I heard that Providence Nurses was calling the vendors and telling them not to deliver. So that is interfering with the people that are in the hospital already, which is not right.
I've not heard that. We'll take a look and see if this is what's going on. You know, anytime there's a work stoppage or a strike, there's always a lot of he said, she said, they say, this kind of thing. And a lot of stuff ends up flying around, but we'll see about that. All right. And
well,
by the way,
I'm on the radio. Yeah. Also, another point I wanted to bring up, they have got 16-day. When are they going to have a day for the women suffragettes that won them the right to vote, to own property, and control their own money? And it was the start of women no longer being male property.
Yeah, but you know, the problem is here is that look how the world's gone to hell ever since you got the vote, Gene.
It hasn't went to hell for me, but anyway.
I'm having fun with you. You know that. I appreciate the call, Gene. All right, let me go. I can't help myself. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Hi, Bill. It's Cliff.
Hey, Cliff. What's up?
To the last caller, she was alluding to the ONA telling the vendors not to go to Providence or, take supplies.
Yeah.
Lars Larson's been talking about that.
Okay, I wasn't listening to Lars the last few days when I was off, so I couldn't confirm. All right.
Okay, and to the point of the prior caller, to the lady just called, what I can't figure out was if the ONA had a bona fide agreement in writing that they were to get some benefits back, and they didn't get it, why didn't they file an unfair labor practice with whoever and force the issue?
Hmm. Something tells me it was probably a memorandum of understanding kind of thing, like this is what we're going to, promise to get around to, but maybe not legally binding, perhaps. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, well, that could be the point.
Yeah. All right, Cliff. Yeah. Appreciate the call. Let me go to line two. Good morning. This is Bill. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Bill. Remember me?
Tom, anyway. How the heck are you?
Good. Sorry about your loss there.
Oh, yeah, we missed Chester already, but he was a good guy.
Yeah, I'm shared many losses like that. About the nurses.
Yeah.
When we have such a dishonest currency, there gets to be a lot of arguments about what the worth of any price of labor or an object is, because you really don't know. You set a certain price, and you don't know if you're making money or losing money because of the rate of inflation and the fluctuation and so forth. And, just even when I go to the grocery store and the clerk says, well, that'll be $110, and I'll look down and I'll say, hey, the bag's not even half full yet. What are you talking about?
Right, right.
Just to shake them a little bit that way. And, I got a solicitation from the people against government waste, and they wanted money. And I said, you kind of remind me of the problem of people out in the ocean there, and their boat is leaking and so forth, and they're busy bailing out, but they're not looking at the holes in the bottom of the boat, which, of course, is the Federal Reserve and our funny money. This really is a core to so much of our problems. And people don't even realize, again, I have to say it, that this inflation is what they're being taxed.
And I agree. Unfortunately, the Federal Reserve is not on the ballot, though, is it?
It sure isn't, and it's not going to be. And I don't know if we have to go into full financial collapse before people say, hey, what's going on?
Exactly. You know, and maybe the financial collapse is part of the cure. And I don't like saying that happily, all right? That's more of a conspiracy theory Thursday fly on it.
It's pretty realistic to me.
Yeah, but I appreciate your take on it, as always. It's 7:39. Thank you, Tom, from Talent. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing.
You really want, like Fortes or Soles, just $139 a month. Trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone, owner of Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on 106.3 KMED.
7:46, State Senator and Secretary of State candidate for the GOP, Dennis Lithicum, back loud and proud from Kay Falls. How you doing this morning, Dennis? Welcome back.
Good morning, Bill.
I think it's kind of appropriate. Money for nothing, chicks for free, right? I was thinking, you know, that's kind of going back to, you know, the conversation I was having with Tom, you know, about the raise for the Oregon Nurses Association in Providence, and the Providence nurses were looking for a 34% raise. They turned down a 23%. But you've talked about this a lot in what you've written about in your newsletters, about, you know, what is a raise right now in an inflationary time. And, you know, that I think that's something that's kind of interesting when you think about it. I think Tom was right about it, and I know you've written about that, haven't you, as the dirt road economist? Yeah.
I've written a lot about it with regard to the problem is really the socialistic methodology we use for medical health care today. The government pays for it all. For example, most men and women your age and my age don't replace their hip or their knee when they're 45 or 55 or 58. They wait until they're 67 or whatever to replace their knee. And
right.
You have to ask the question, why? And the reason why is because Medicare pays for it. So the $200,000 bill goes to somebody else. It doesn't come to me. I would make the decision not to do it at 58. And I'll not do it at 62, and I'll not do it at 64 and a half, but I'll do it at 66 and thereafter, because I get to put that bill into somebody else's pocket. And so the whole system is outlandish. When an aspirin costs $500 or whatever ridiculous number people could state, maybe it was only $50, but $50 for an aspirin is still outrageous. And so this unionized healthcare model is an inappropriate model, because we should, if we really believed in meritocracy, everyone claims to believe in meritocracy and then they want equality, but you can't have it that way. If there's general practitioners should be in private practice and not be under the umbrella of the hospital, where the hospital is now ruling the roost and telling everybody what they can and can't do and how they have to treat COVID and what they...
Oh, you remember here, you remember, Senator, the way it was that, you know, you could tell your doctor back during the COVID scandemic, in which you would say, hey, you know, doc, I knew people that got better when they were taking ivermectin rather than remdesivir and all the rest of it, and they did really, really well. And the doctor would say, yep, a lot of people have told me that, and if I tried to do this, the hospital would fire me, or they'd go after my medical license, we remember this. It was talked about openly, you know, in whispers.
That's right. So the past 4 years should prove to everyone that government, like you just mentioned, the MD Singleton, and, you know, Marilyn was keen on saying government should not be trusted. These giant bureaucracies are are, you know, I can't remember the specific tax she said, but they're busy following the hierarchy. Somebody above says, do this, and they yep. all salute, yes, sir. It's a little bit like what happened at the end of World War II. Every single person on trial in Nuremberg said, I was following orders, I didn't break any laws. And that's what Redfield recently was saying in the Epoch Times. Look at, I did everything right. It's kind of a limited hangout from Redfield. He's the first guy in our, request for a grand jury investigation. He's part of the problem. He is the problem, if not the entire problem. Fauci's the big leader of this gang of thieves. But somebody's going to have to say, time, it's not all roses that you want to paint.
All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of other things here. But I certainly get your point of view when it comes to, you know, liberty. And we've decided that the moment we decided that everyone's going to wait to get certain procedures done. And I've known people that have done just like what you talk about. You wait to have your knee replaced until you're in the Medicare window. And then, of course, it's probably a lot more difficult to replace. It may cost more than it would if it was more reasonably done when you were younger and healthier, right? Is that kind of where you were coming from? And there's these perverse incentives that socialized healthcare, which is what Medicare is, that we've been forced into, essentially, right? People have been forced into this, really.
Yeah, well, see, that's what government does best. Government incentivizes actions and reactions by funding them. If you had an individual on a minute ago who was saying, well, it's the, you know, funding scheme that's got everything lopsided, and he's absolutely right. The federal government doesn't have enough money to pay for your knee replacement and mine and every other person in the state of Oregon. You know, there's, you know, 4 million people times two, that's 8 million knees that might all need to get replaced. And I realize this is a giant exaggeration, but let's say, okay, that's across the entire U.S. All right, that's a fine number, 8 million across the entire U.S. at, a $200,000 a pop. Somebody in Shreveport, Louisiana is going to have to pay for that. And somebody in the Watts suburb of Los Angeles is going to have to pay for that. And we keep harming the people at the lower end of the socioeconomic scale because they're not going to a physician who says, I can replace your kneecap or whatever. They're stuck in the drudges and drudgery of everyday life. It's shameful what government has done. And the same thing is going on with climatism. It's a shining example of technocracy leading the political elites by their nose. And it's a multi-billion dollar industry. You asked an interesting question of Peters this morning. You said, how many billions of dollars, probably trillions actually, have been squandered pursuing these climate goals? And the whole thing is made up and farcical. And I don't think the Secretary of State can audit the opportunity costs that have been lost by pursuing false agendas.
But boy, it sure would be nice if you could. Question. It would be really nice if when you did, assuming that we can get you in as Secretary of State, by the way, go to electdennis.com and please donate if you can. I thought I'd toss that for you. Not that I'm your campaign manager or anything, but I just think you would be a welcome change there. But, you know, you think about that, and if you could run an audit on even Oregon Department of Transportation, Dennis, oh my gosh, can you imagine? Has there ever been an administration more or an organization more apt for needing an audit than ODOT right now? Can you imagine if you could come up with then not only the cost of what they're claiming, but also then here's the lost opportunity cost of what they're not doing? I don't know. What do you think?
It would be fascinating. Right now, ODOT is bonded to the hilt, you know, and they have so many, you know, high paid retirees over triple digit retirees on an annual basis. Those guys have all served their time and are now out in the PERS world buying a second home on the lake while the average taxpayer is trying to figure out how to come up with enough money to buy a slab of bacon.
Okay, well, now, Dennis, let me ask you this. This is a serious question, but you might laugh at it when I ask you. How long will it be, do you think, you know, in the Oregon state system, Senator Linthicum, until, if there's not enough money to pay PERS retirees, that people who aren't on PERS get assigned to be a slave to do the work for, mow the lawn? In other words, you know, Mike Bellotti, the former coach getting $450,000 a year, last time I heard, you know, we have to go and take care of his yard, maybe do maid work for him, you know, to compensate for not getting his $450,000. What do you think?
Yeah, $450 a year times 10 years. People just need to do the math. You know, that's why I'm looking forward to the Secretary of State possibility is doing the math. You know, it provides, an astounding insight into what in the world is really going on. And we talk in billions and people, you know, have trouble with $1 billion. $1 billion is 1,000 million. So when we're talking about $83 billion going to Ukraine, that's 83,000 millions that we could build 83,000 million-dollar homes for that. Or we could build 166,000 half-million-dollar homes, or continue with.
Okay, you're making eyes glaze. You're making eyes glaze, Senator. Be careful. You're going off into the numbers world and talk radio. Stop.
But you see my point, though.
I know.
People don't know what you say 1 billion in your newsletter, you write it as a dollar sign so everybody knows we're talking the US dollar, and you put a 1 and a capital B and everybody knows that's $1 billion, but it looks like it's just 1. It's 1,000 million. That's a big number.
Yeah, indeed. Secretary of State candidate for the GOP, Dennis Linthicum, of course, he's current state senator at the moment. Did you happen to catch that story from Liz Harrington the other day about election integrity, Dennis? I don't know if it's about this, but they have discovered 20,000 unsubstantiated ballots in Georgia's 2020 election. And then they were pointing to tabulators that do not exist. And this was, questions about that. And do you think we'll ever get to the bottom of everything that happened back in those days? Are Secretary of States around the country interested in this kind of, look back?
They certainly ought to be. And not because we don't have to say, yeah, I believe that or I don't believe that. They actually have the facts. They have the serial numbers of the tabulators. And those serial numbers of those tabulators weren't actually there.
Non-existent tabulators, and yet 20,000 ballots came from these, and that was more than the margin of victory for Biden in Georgia.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. So even if you don't want to go back in time and say, see, Trump won the election, and I recognize people don't want to say, see, Trump run the election, and I realize, everyone will go berserk with that illusion. But the point is, secretaries of state ought to be developing rules, methodologies, checks and balances to ensure that cannot happen. And if they're not creating, the rules, the regulations, the mathematical strictness that would force errors like that to the surface on the day or the day after or within 3 days of the election, then the Secretary of States are, complicit, because that's their job. Their job at for the National Voting Rights Act is to ensure the integrity and results of their electoral process within each state.
And this is not just a blue state problem, by the way. Don't look at this as me thinking that the only problem exists in blue hive mind states. That, although we may be paying more attention to that being a red state kind of fan, I get that. Something tells me that whoever is the majority party in charge someplace always needs to be double checked upon. You know, if you know, you double check a Republican in Texas, you double check Democrats in Oregon. You know, maybe that's a good way to put it, right? You know, whoever's in the massive control overall.
Well, actually, double check everybody.
Yeah.
You know, to when you have a ledger in front, this is old day stuff, but when you have a ledger in front of you, you check and cross check. You know, you add up this column, you add up that column, you cross check them. They ought to match each other. There ought to be a third column out there that shows that those results indeed come out right. You know, and this is standard fiduciary responsibility as an individual who's entrusted with the care and concern for ensuring election integrity. Bingo, that's your job, and it ought to be done on a regular basis.
All right, Dennis, I know that you would be great in that office, and let's make this more than just a dream. I always talk about, hey, a fella can dream, right? You know, when you talk about winning statewide elections, it's a high lift, and you go to electdennis.com, please, and support, okay? I wanted to mention before we take off here, if you don't get Dennis's newsletter, they're really worth reading. And one that came out this week is about why did they do that? And why did they do it? And essentially it was about why people took up arms or really went after tyranny during their time of the founders, right? Is that pretty much what that's all about?
Yeah, well, yeah, I refer both to the founders and to the Civil War. Actually,
yeah.
Any movie you may have seen, I reference the Patriot, and I reference the Glory movie from a long time ago, 1989. And these men, you know, they train, they march, they drill over and over and over again. Then they line up and just shoot at each other. And in my modern mind, I'm thinking this is a lousy way to go into battle. And everyone, especially men and women are revolted by this waste of human life. And then you have to say, why did they do this? What was their motivation? Why did they, go at it? And the key point in this is there's always the next man up. It's not the first guy on the beach in D-Day. It's the fifth guy and the sixth guy and the 25th guy on the beach in D-Day that make the difference. There's got to be enough people involved that everybody's willing to step up and fill the gap and move forward. And that's what we need during this election. We need people to step up and come forward. That's why I think this Make Oregon Great Again event on Saturday would be great for people to visit. You ought to put that up on your website and let people hunker down and learn how to step up.
Now, you are actually speaking there. Which time are you going to be on the lineup there, Dennis?
I think the schedule's not real precise, but Mike Lindell will be there. Jim Hoft will be there,
right.
Or Joe Hoft will be there. And he's the founder of Gateway Pundit. And I'll be somewhere in the lunch hour, probably 11 to 1.
Hi, Diane. Just want to say hi to her while she was, I could hear her. So that's good.
Okay, yeah. Bill can hear you on the radio, Di.
But anyway, so you're going to be there Saturday and Make Oregon Great Again. You're going to be speaking, and of course, people get to talk with you in person, maybe chat you up afterwards, right? Happy to do that.
Yeah, I'm there all day. I'll be there for the concert afterwards. You know, we expect it to be a busy full day talking with a lot of people in small groups, in larger groups, in the, from the center stage and all that kind of stuff. It'll be a great day. It'll be warm, so, Dress coolly. How's that?
Okay, we'll take that. By the way, jcor.gop, by the way, is where you can find out more about tickets for Make Oregon Great Again. jcor.gop. MoGov.gop. All right. Dennis, always good talking with you. We'll catch you next Wednesday. And you can give us your impressions of what happened at MoGa. Okay. We'll see you then.
You bet. You all bet. Right. Thank you, Bill.
And by the way, Dennis's website, electdennis.com. 4 after 8. This is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford. KBXG, Grants Pass at 99.3 FM. Translator K290AF in Rogue River at 105.9 FM, and K294AS Ashland. Think I got all the legals in there correctly, all right?
The term for people.